Before I get started, I have no relationships to disclose to you all. All right. So just for some background and kind of context for the study I'm going to be talking about today, as many of you may know, in 2004 there was a call for universal adoption of electronic health records by 2015. And subsequent legislation, namely the HITECH Act, has allocated over $19 billion in funding kind of towards this end. And as a result, in 2013, EHR adoption rates among office-based settings were as high as 78%. So this means a real change in the landscape of healthcare delivery, as providers are increasingly working in environments that require electronic documentation and require computer use during the patient-provider interactions. But making this shift has been a struggle for some providers, and concerns about maintaining the patient-provider relationship is among the most frequently cited concerns of providers and is one of the biggest barriers in kind of provider acceptance of EHR systems. And kind of lending credence to some of these concerns, some studies have indicated that introducing computer into the exam room has been associated with decreased eye contact, reduced psychosocial questioning, and loss of rapport, all of which naturally can be very damaging to the patient-provider relationship. But in the absence of best practices around exam room computer use, providers have really been adopting a wide range of strategies of electronic documentation. So what this means is that we really don't know a whole lot about the various processes that might lead to disruptions or enhancements of the patient-provider relationship when it comes to using electronic health records during these face-to-face encounters. So naturally, understanding this is going to be important for all healthcare professionals, but this is particularly important within mental health settings, because in mental health settings, talk is really the treatment, and the development of a therapeutic alliance between the patient and provider is really a critical ingredient in successful treatment. So kind of keeping an eye on this knowledge gap, this qualitative study looks at two broad research questions. The first is how behavioral health professionals are using electronic health records during the clinical encounter. And second, how has electronic documentation impacted the patient-provider relationship during these face-to-face visits, kind of with the ultimate goal of identifying strategies and barriers towards implementing this practice. The sample from the study was collected from a large network of federally qualified health centers that provides integrated medical and behavioral health services across 19 sites that exist in both a dense urban and surrounding rural areas. This particular organization has been using a shared electronic health record for over a decade, so it's been very established within this organization. And what I mean by shared is that the same electronic health record is used by all providers across all sites. So theoretically, any provider could access the same patient chart and is being documented in the same location for everybody within the organization. The resulting sample consists of 36 behavioral health professionals across 5 different sites. There were 3 paraprofessionals, which were either case managers or care managers, 27 licensed behavioral health providers, 4 psychiatrists, and 2 behavioral health administrators. All respondents in this study engaged in 30 to 60 minute interviews with myself, where we discussed a number of topics, including how EHR systems are used, perceived cost and benefits of use, and the impact on these systems on how care is delivered. So both inductive and inductive techniques were used in order to analyze the data. At first, a grounded theory approach was used in order to identify emergent patterns or themes in the data. So all interviews were then transcribed and gone through line by line using an open coding technique in order to identify key patterns and themes. And this process was repeated iteratively in order to go from broad categories to more narrowly defined, concise typologies. Then a cross-classification matrix was developed in order to evaluate the consistency of these patterns across a number of contexts and also identify important variations, including negative case analysis. So the results indicated that staff generally preferred electronic documentation to paper charting, and they did find that on the whole, clients were open to the use of computers during the clinical encounters. They were also able to identify several strategies in which they were able to use the electronic health record as a tool to actually enhance as opposed to weaken the patient-provider relationship. And I've broken these strategies down into three types: the relational, environmental, and system-related strategies. However, in discussing barriers to implementing these practices, it did appear that certain conditions or factors kind of played into their ability in order to implement these practices effectively. And I'll talk about each of these as we go on. So the first set of strategies were relational strategies, and these had to do with how the provider interacted with the patient while the computer was present in the room. The first task that was important was to introduce the system to the patient at the outset of treatment right away. And the manner of introduction also made a really big difference. It wasn't enough to just make the patient aware that the computer was there in the room, but they really needed to engage the patient in conversation about how the computer was going to be used and prepare them for the computer to be a very active participant in their treatment. And the second strategy has to do with what that participation looked like. The providers described that they could actually use the computer as a tool to kind of guide and structure their treatment, and also as a way to elicit patient feedback and encourage participation in their own care. So, for example, the providers might say, okay, so you've mentioned that your symptoms are X this week. Does that sound about right? And they would elicit this feedback while they were typing into the system and integrate the feedback that the patient gave them into their documentation. So they were effectively documenting collaboratively or along with the patient. Alternatively, they might offer to the patient, you know, we've said that, you know, you're going to work on this between this week and next week. Should we document that in the chart? And what the staff reflected was this was actually a way to empower the patient because it essentially democratized the clinical encounter and allowed the patients to become involved in their charting in ways that they probably hadn't been before. So I've included a quotation that kind of describes this, where the respondent says, "I think that it really helps them, the patients, to understand that their treatment is structured and that we're consistently going back to their goals and seeing if we're making progress towards them. It helps them to learn about A, their diagnosis, and B, what we're doing in a session. So I think it empowers them because it gives them a lot of knowledge. I think it also builds a lot of trust because we're literally showing them what we're writing and we're saying, do you agree? Is there anything you want to change or you want to take out?" Now, the second set of strategies were environmental strategies, and these had to do with how the providers manipulated the office setting in order to better integrate the electronic health record into their encounters. And these were employed essentially in order to support the relational strategies that they expressed verbally with nonverbal cues. So the most basic way they did this was to turn the monitor towards the patient to allow for joint viewing. So the picture included here is not from our study, but is borrowed from a related study by Frankel and colleagues that really demonstrates how turning the monitor to allow the patients to see what is going on sends a very powerful message that either opens or closes off the opportunity for kind of joint discussion and dialogue. It was also important for the providers that they had some time during the session where they were not attending to the computer. And they would do this by literally turning their body away from the computer to show with their body language that they were attending fully to the patient. However, navigating this transition from the computer to the patient seemed to be the most challenging element of using the system during care. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. The last set of strategies are system-related strategies, and these had to do with built-in functionalities of the EHR system that could in themselves be used as tools for engagement. So having an electronic health record really allows providers to have a wealth of information available to them at their fingertips. So this includes things like lab results or medication lists, appointment history, and even progress notes from other providers. And this could be used to help patients get answers to their questions, navigate the healthcare environment, or provide psychoeducation. And what the providers indicated was that particularly at the beginning of the outset of treatment, while you're building a rapport with the patient, this could be a really useful tool in kind of demonstrating to the patient how you were going to be an asset to them, because you had this information and you could help them kind of navigate the sometimes complex elements of the healthcare system. This particular system also allowed you to aggregate a lot of information and kind of create a lot of charts and graphs of a number of data points. But most relevant here was, for example, depression scores. So what the providers were able to do, and this is an example here, of how they were able to plot depression scores over time. So they were able to create a very concrete visual aid to show to the patients to see how treatment was progressing or not progressing. And this could often be used as a jumping off point in conversations with the patient. So they could say, you know, you've been doing really well, but I see here, you know, during this week your depression score really went up, your symptoms got a lot worse. What do you think was going on there? And this was particularly useful when patients may lack some insight or lack some memory recall. And lastly, because this was a shared electronic health record system, the providers were able to communicate with one another in a very transdisciplinary or interdisciplinary way. And they felt that this allowed for a collaboration that probably wouldn't have existed in instances where everybody is documenting separately in paper charts. And not only did the providers feel like that allowed them to have a more comprehensive approach to care, but they felt that the patients themselves also felt cared for by a very cohesive team. And both of those really lent themselves to more quality care, they felt. Now, as I mentioned, there are some barriers that the staff indicated that made it difficult to implement these strategies. And they all seem to kind of hinge on the fact that EHR systems are, by nature, very structured and uniform. And where they excel is in the collection of very discrete data points. So they tend to use things like checkboxes and pull-down menus as opposed to open text narratives. And the ability to reconcile these characteristics with the very kind of relational nature of mental health was contingent on a few factors. The first was computer literacy. Now, from a very simple point, many of the staff indicated that they could type much faster than they could handwrite. And so in this sense, electronic documentation just felt very efficient to them. But of course, on the reverse, those who had less proficient typing skills felt the opposite and found then that electronic documentation was very, very time-consuming and a little clunky to them. But where computer literacy really played the biggest role was in kind of managing the competing demands of both the computer and the patient. Because when you're documenting electronically, you need to be able to navigate between different screens, between different tabs and drop-down menus. And you're operating within a very structured set template that may or may not coincide with the natural flow of conversation that unfolds during a behavioral health session. So the more comfortable that providers were with navigating the computer and navigating the system as a whole, the more easily they were able to kind of navigate a seamless transition between attending to the computer while staying attentive to the patient. Whereas providers who were less proficient and the more time you needed to take focusing on the documentation and kind of navigating the screen, the more disruptive it was to the natural flow of the conversation. Clinical orientation also played a role here. Many of the providers indicated that they took a very structured approach to treatment. And if you recall the quotation that I read previously, they kind of spoke to that, how treatment was very structured. It had a very predictable beginning, middle, and end. And so in these instances, the electronic health record was actually helpful in kind of supporting this flow and supporting the structure of treatment. However, there was another group of clinicians who used a more open narrative form of therapy or employed techniques such as play therapy or meditation during their sessions. And so for this group, finding a natural break or a natural way to introduce the computer into the session was a little bit more challenging. And lastly, there are time constraints. And providers spoke about really having to compromise between the ideal way they wanted to practice and the reality of their schedule. Looking at kind of the policy environment now, there is a huge pressure to kind of see more patients and be more productive. But there's also, with the advent of new incentive programs and new designations, a whole set of new quality measures, measuring quality care processes that need to be collected. So kind of collectively, not only did this increase the documentation requirements for the providers, but they're also being asked kind of to do more in a limited period of time while navigating this new kind of third party, this new tool in their sessions. So there are a couple takeaway messages here. The first is that, you know, the system alone may or may not dictate engagement outcomes. It really seems to have to do more with how the providers are using the systems in care. Now, that being said, talking to these staff members, it really did seem like using an electronic health record did really fundamentally change the way that they provided care. The computers are not really a silent partner within the session at all. So knowing that, we really need to be paying attention to training the emerging workforce, not only in just basic computer literacy, but with the clinical skills that they're going to need in order to be able to introduce these computers into their sessions in a meaningful way. Likewise, for organizations, technical assistance that's going to help behavioral health organizations implement these systems is really sorely needed. It's not just within medical communities, but in the behavioral health community as well, particularly as they're managing all of these new documentation requirements and kind of creating templates that are going to be flexible enough within the confines of an EHR structure to accommodate the flow of a behavioral health session. There are some important future directions to kind of build upon these results. Of course, as a qualitative study, this has some limited generalizability, and this characterizes the experience of only one system within one organization. So this is an integrated system. So this may not match the experiences of a practice that has only medical or only behavioral health. This is also an outpatient FQHC setting, so the patient population primarily had access one mental health diagnosis, so things like depression, anxiety, and PTSD were most common. So if you're dealing with a more seriously mentally ill population, these findings may be very different. So to kind of build on these, though, and learn more, some quantitative results to kind of look at whether these perceived benefits of the EHR system actually result in positive outcomes is going to be an important next step. And kind of building on that as well, all of these findings really are the providers talking about kind of what they perceive the patients as feeling. So the patient perspective is going to be an important next step in kind of understanding these processes a little bit more. All right. Thank you, guys.